Congressman Paul Tonko, thank you, as always, for coming in. I noticed that you always wear, you know, an accoutrement on your suit. It's a sort of a pin. What is that pin?
It's a congressional pin that makes it easy for security to identify who's a member of the House, although after a couple of terms, the face is pretty recognizable to the Capitol Police, but still wear it to comply with orders for better security.
Well, what if somebody were to create a doppelganger, you know, or an image, same thing?
Well,
and they could get right past, and they could.
Well, I think also they pretty much know most of the members. I think that's one of their assignments, even with the freshman class. But yeah, there's always a weakness in some order of security, I would think.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get down to important stuff, like you're calling on Social Security to provide cost of living adjustments in 2016 when, because of the price of gas, it's not technically warranted.
Well, you know, I think there should be a number of things looked at for the sake of a COLA adjustment for the Social Security recipients. You know, I think our seniors should be... their situation should be measured by those essentials, the cost of medications, pharmaceuticals, their rental payments, their various given essentials, food, and yes, fuel costs too. But, you know, I think there needs to be a better format by which to calculate the COLA. I think that tying it to pretty much a CPI growth or reduction doesn't really speak to the essential needs, again, for seniors. And I think that we can do better by revisiting what is the litmus test, what's the checking points for a COLA adjustment.
And yet, Paul Tonko, there is always a need to balance the federal budget. And as you know, the Republicans have not been shy in the past about doing away with Social Security as we now know it.
Right. There have been efforts to privatize the Social Security. And, you know, I think we just need to be mindful of the fact that in this very terrible recession where many people were impacted by the economy falling to its knees, found that they never lost a penny of Social Security. But many lost their portfolios,
everything else, yeah,
which represented a work time life, life savings for them, and I think we should stay focused on that. I think that greed, in many ways, brought down our economy, and I think the Social Security program offered the stability that was its original intent, and performed through a very difficult economic time. To respond to the needs of seniors.
Now, there are some liberals in our society who believe that it's just wrong for people who make over a certain amount of money not to have to pay more than they're paying now into Social Security.
Right. Some of these individuals make their total payment into the fund by February 12th of any given year. So it tells you how egregious that is. I think that we need to revisit the cap. And make it much more progressive so that for the sake of stability for the Social Security Trust Fund, that we provide more of a foundation there and more fairness in how we seek payment into the trust fund.
Now, Paul, there are those who think that, you know, people who are on Social Security are not really, you know, working for a living, that they're getting handouts, that they're getting bailouts. I'm sure you hear this when you go around to town meetings.
Well, the attempts to suggest this is an entitlement program when, in fact, it's an earned benefit. You have seniors paying into the Social Security account throughout their work lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a point oftentimes somewhat clouded or disregarded by the critics. Even those colleagues with whom I serve would like to have us think this is an entitlement program. And I think the stability that President Roosevelt brought with this program and the way that many seniors really need this as, as a safety net for their retirement years speaks to the wisdom of having progressive change introduced, reforms introduced that provide the stability, continue the programming, which is nearly 80 years old, and you know, just improve upon that package. And yes, one of the fairest ways is to talk about that cap and the adjustment there.
Paul Tonko, there have been bad economic news for our area, and that's the news of layoffs at Global Foundries. Could you explain what Global Foundries is and then talk about whether these were expected?
Well, you know, I think in a way some were expected. Basically, they're a chip manufacturer.
Right.
And so a lot of the chips, very minute precision manufacturing that gets down to, you know, very, very thin materials, is a high-tech, state-of-the-art operation, one of the most robust manufacturing facilities in the world for chips. And, you know, they've gone through some formational changes, structuring changes, and I believe that some of this was anticipated with the restructuring. But they're also now talking about the fab constructions, the additional facilities to their manufacturing facility, and research components that will be added. So I think as this roller coaster effort resolves itself, we're going to see that there are plenty of jobs that are sound paying and that will keep their presence in the international economy very strong here in upstate New York.
Now, the government tries very hard to attract these kinds of firms. Sometimes they pay out some real taxpayer dollars in order to do it. You know, I watched it happen in Puerto Rico years ago when they had something called Operation Bootstrap, and, you know, and then as soon as the tax advantages left, so did the people who had taken them. And I worry about that.
Well, you know, it is always a worry, but I think that when you look at the physical infrastructure, the absolute construction, the plant that they've developed, it's an awful lot of investment beyond public. It's a lot of private sector investment, too. And I think it just speaks to, you know, a sound bit of infrastructure that they have here, that it would be very difficult to walk away from it. And I think that, you know, it is a state-of-the-art facility. And yes, there's been a lot of public sector dollars matching the private sector, but it's also cutting edge, and it's a technology that changes through the course of time very rapidly. And I see them introducing that change here. So I would think that with those additional investments and with those of research, usually the research and manufacturing elements with most of these business decisions are next door to each other. And so I think it's just good news that both are representing, both manufacturing and research are representing a sound investment that's here to stay.
We only have 1 minute, but somewhat sardonically, let me say, tell that to the people in Pittsfield and the people in Schenectady, the people with huge infrastructures don't move.
Well, yeah, we're talking about some of the more traditional manufacturing,
yeah,
where you might be able to pick up and relocate. But here, I think there's been a long-term commitment made simply by some of the investments that are still underway. And some of their updates suggest that they're still looking at additional expansion.
Paul Tonko, we love having you come in and sit across the table from us and, you know, tell us what you've learned. And it's always great to have you here. Thank you.
My pleasure.